The Voice is a reality TV show where singers are chosen initially by turning a judge's chair with only the sound of their voice. God's voice sounds three times in the Gospels, at the baptism of Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in our text. Only three disciples heard the voice on the Mount. It's debated who heard the voice at the Jordan, but no doubt that the crowd heard it here. Did you? Will your chair turn for this voice? Whose voice is it? Sheep know the voice of the good shepherd, says Jesus, but not everyone knows the voice of God. Some in the crowd thought it was nature's voice. The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. People do the opposite today. Rather than hearing God speaking in nature, they hear nature speaking as God. Nature does speak, Romans 8:22. We know that all creation is groaning with birth pangs right up to the present time. Large trees groan in the wind. Frozen lakes groan so much that they spook you if you're on them. The wind howls in rage and pain. But that's not hearing nature speak as God. The people telling you the planet cries out to be saved from plastics, fossil fuels, and climate change, they're hearing nature speak as God. The crowd mistakes the voice of God for thunder. Others in the crowd, not distinct from it, that would be another Greek word, others in that same group said an angel had spoken to him. The first group says literally thunder had happened. And the form of happen means it was very loud to them and lingered in their ears. They don't hear any words being articulated, just sound. The others heard words, but think an angel had spoken. But for them too, the sound continues to echo in their ears. Now, is this parallel to what happened on the road to Damascus? Compare Acts 9:7 and Acts 22:9. Those with Paul outside Damascus heard something, but they couldn't make it out. Well, that's not how it is in our text. It was a voice, not a sound, that came out of heaven, and it was the voice of none other than God, the Father. We know that because Jesus says he won't pray, "Father, save me from this hour," and he does pray, "Father, glorify your name." The voice that answers can be none other than God the Father's. In the Psalms, we hear that the voice of God is powerful, full of majesty, breaks cedar trees, shakes the wilderness, and makes deer give birth. When he merely utters his voice, the earth melts. The waters at creation flood, and today they obey the voice of God. Oh, to be spoken to by him, right? The internet is filled with this. It's filled with, how can we recognize the voice of God? How do we know if we're hearing the voice of God? And six scriptures to help you discern and hear the voice of God. But people don't need those sites. No, they say all the time, "God's telling me this or that." Or, "To me, this Bible passage means..." See, they hear the voice of God in their private interpretation of Scripture and think that's authoritative. They are badly, dangerously, spiritually speaking, mistaken. Whoa, got ahead of me, myself. I wanted to preach the law, but more gently than that. Well, let's back up. For whom is the voice in our text? The crowd. Jesus plainly says that the voice wasn't for his sake, but theirs, even though the voice is answering his prayer. Isn't it interesting that less than a week before his death, Jesus prays what we do every Sunday? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And the Father answers, "I have, and I will glorify it." But the answer is for the crowd, not Jesus. This is Palm Sunday. John is the only one to note that there are two crowds of people here. One is coming with Jesus from Bethany, and one is coming out to meet him from Jerusalem. Both crowds are focused on Jesus having raised the 4-day dead Lazarus. That's what draws them to Jesus, his power over life and death. Now, it is easy to see how God the Father glorified the man Jesus by showing he had the power over death itself. They were down, the crowd was, with this sort of glorification. That's why they could welcome him, saying such startling things as, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." The voice speaks to the crowd, telling them that they're right to glorify this Jesus. The Father had glorified his name through the man Jesus, and he will glorify my name again in him. The will glorify again, that's the kicker. Follow the events of Holy Week. See the public testing of Jesus in the temple by his enemies and the private disappointments with his own disciples. The crowd sees the first, not the second. But then comes Good Friday. Then they're going to see all the suffering, shaming, blaming, beating, spitting, forsaking, and more. They will see Jesus hanging helplessly on the cross, taunted to come down. They will note that his poor mother, a few women, and one disciple are all who still claim the crucified Christ. Even God abandons him, for he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Even God deserts the man who claims to be the Son of God. The point being, the voice here tells you all that ugliness, all that shamefulness, all that painfulness, that's God glorifying his name again. It's easy to see how Jesus raising Lazarus glorified the Father's name and then skip to Easter and see that again. But don't do that. The brutality, the cursedness, the judging that many would skip, that is, according to the voice, the Father glorifying his name again. And just what does that mean? Jesus explains. Remember, he's the exegete. He's the interpreter of the God no man has seen or can see at any time. Rather than let your mind run off into all sorts of speculation about God, judgment, salvation, Jesus tells us what the glorifying of the Father's name is. It's the giving up, punishing, ridiculing, abandoning, damning, and dying of his only beloved Son. If you want to read the antithesis of this voice, read Isaac Asimov's 10-page short story, The Voice. It's on the internet. There, the voice speaks all sorts of Buddhist, Confucius, postmodern things that sound real deep, real wise. Not the true God. His voice is for your benefit, and this is what he says. The world is judged. Think of all the wretchedness, wickedness, and filthiness in this world. How the world rejects God, its creator, preserver, and protector. You know how quickly you can get mad at that bird or puppy or kitten that you stoop to help only to be pecked at, bitten, or scratched? Even the gentlest soul can get angry fast. How dare you do that to me? I was only trying to help you. Well, the world did that to God time and again, time after time. And judgment is due. And Jesus is going to bear it. He didn't do anything wrong. Not only did he never bite the hand of that fed him, but he always prayed, praised, and gave thanks to God. But he enters Jerusalem as the scapegoat, the goat upon whom the Father has placed a world's worth of sin, guilt, shame, and pain. Now, C.S. Lewis says that pain can't be multiplied. He quote, "We must never make the problem of pain worse than it is by vague talk about the unimaginable sum of human misery. The addition of a million fellow sufferers adds no more to pain." So says Lewis. Well, if that's true, satisfying the wrath of God wouldn't have needed the suffering of God in flesh and blood. One man would have done it. But it did not. So to glorify the Father's name, God the Son was given to suffer the judgments against the world that the Father still loved. And the Father's name being glorified means the casting out of the prince of this world. Jesus is emphatic here. He says, now the ruler of this world will be cast out outside. He's really thrown out. Remember how Satan claimed to own the world and all its kingdom so he could give it to Jesus if he wanted? If Jesus just worshiped him? God's holy law that we break gave the devil the basis for claiming to be the world's prince. God promised that his law must be kept, both its commands and its punishments. There was no shortage of people who failed to keep his commandments. All, in fact, failed. But Romans 3:25 says, God in forbearance had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And this gave Satan access to heaven, as we see in Job 1 and 2 and in Zechariah 3. He gave him access to heaven to accuse sinners. Not anymore. Now the would-be prince has no standing before God. Cite one law of God Jesus failed to keep. Name a single punishment of that law that Jesus didn't bear in his passion. This is big. It means God doesn't need or want any suffering from you to satisfy his wrath or glorify his name. Jesus did it all. The prince has been cast out. He's judged. The deed is done. You are safe. But what's that noise? It's not the voice. It's the sound of all men literally being dragged to Jesus. Do you hear that massive scraping sound? You know how theoretically nothing escapes from the event horizon of a black hole? Well, nothing escapes the event of God the Son being lifted up on a cross. He says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will drag, not draw, I will drag all men to myself. Don't read draw, you know, like a flower draws a honeybee or like fresh baked bread draws us. This is the word for dragging a dead weight. This is a miracle word. The cross event where God in our flesh and blood willingly lays down his life for every single person who has lived, does live, or will live, drags all to himself. Don't think people need to be enticed, to be drawn, to be sold the cross. Christ crucified drags all people to himself in 10,000 ways. Word and sacrament, they're the means, but these means are dispersed in countless ways, and all whisper, come to me. Here on the cross is salvation. Here in the crucified one is rescue from death and the devil. Here is real life. But don't think, well, then all people need to do is decide to come, choose to listen. No, watch the show of the voice. The voice is what causes the chairs to turn. That's the reason it sings. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.